Guess who's back?
Guess who is back? It is
down.
Jason and Bran coming to you on this lovely Thursday.
It is a Thursday
of March Madness.
You know what I say? I say we just throw out. We're going to release these episodes whenever we want to.
Let's talk about a couple of things. Happy March Madness to you. Number two. Hey Jason and Bran. Where have you been? We're not saying that we didn't put Summit Drive Time out for a couple of weeks just to see if people missed us.
Yes.
We're not that pathetic. And at the same time, people missed us.
People did miss us. The inbox has been flooded with
Talk about the different ways people communicated with us saying, where are you guys and when are you coming back? Did you get emails? I did. Did you get text messages? I did. Did you get people just stopping you on the street? I did.
The street?
Yep, just on the street. Hey, are you Jason Malone? Yeah. Where's Summit Drive Time? Great question. Right?
Yeah, you just keep walking with no answers.
I didn't answer them at all.
We are here to answer those questions.
On where we've been?
Where we've been.
Listen, here's what I need everybody to know. I got a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And so do you, Bran. I probably got a few more things going on than
you. Why would you assume
that?
Well,
I'm just assuming that I probably have a few more things. Do you feel like you've got more things? I mean, you do other podcasts. I do know that.
Yeah.
I mean, Hallmark thing's still going in the middle of February and March.
It is. I still think I could have another 10 podcasts and you'd still be busy.
Here's what we would like to say. If you don't hear from us on a given week, pray for us.
Yeah.
Is that a fair thing to say?
That's
probably
fair.
Something's going on. Man, there's so much going on. They didn't have time to sit down for 22 minutes and talk to us. Maybe we should pray for them.
Maybe you should.
That'd be totally fine.
Raise your hand right now if you had.
No, keep it on the steering wheel. 10-2. Don't raise your hand at all. We are glad to be back. We have had a lot of things going on, and we're not making excuses.
No excuses.
But if we were to come up with the excuses, these would be our top three. Brandon, top three excuses as to why we haven't done a podcast.
Yeah. Do you want to go number three, two, one?
Uh-huh. Number three.
I was running low on Cheez-Its.
Really?
Running low on Cheez-Its.
You know, at some stores, you can get them, buy one, get one free.
Which ones?
Just different stores.
So
Number two. Allergies.
Yeah, allergies.
And we didn't sound good. We haven't sounded very good because of the pollens are out.
Yeah, we had one episode we recorded and it didn't sound good.
A lot of sniffling. Number one.
We lost power.
We have not had power for 6 weeks.
For 6 weeks.
And it's fixed now.
There was a
major
electrical
outlet.
Yes, was shortage.
No, for real, we have had a lot of things going on. We have missed you guys. We have had some people I said that they missed us, which was really nice.
It was very kind.
But we are glad to be back as spring has sprung.
Let me tell you what I think that we should do. First of all, we should tell people our final four so that we can help them with their brackets.
Good.
But number two, we should tell people about what's been going on at Summit in quarter one. We've had a big quarter.
A lot has been going on.
Yes.
It's not that we haven't been doing anything, and it's not that all the things we've been doing are very difficult things not allowing us to podcast.
No,
there's just a lot going on.
Good things.
And we're going to share some of that with you.
We are.
Kyle Estep and I recently did a little video where we talked about some of it, but we're going to unpack it even a little bit more today
during the
Summit Drive Time.
So
you want to do that first and then final four picks or
that.
Final four picks first?
No,
because you feel like if we do final four picks, we won't even get to all the good stuff going on. I think that's fair. I think that is fair.
So let's go back to January.
The last
episode that we had took place at the Life Group Leader Retreat.
We did it at the retreat. We did some interviews, Q&A with leaders.
And what we didn't really get to dive into in that is as much as we maybe would have, is one, why that is such a great weekend.
Yeah.
It's our fourth year doing that?
Yeah, I believe so.
And two, kind of what we were talking through that weekend. Maybe the people would like to know what it is that we're speaking into the life of the Life Group leaders.
I think those are two really good questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So let's go back even a little bit further.
Okay.
When Summit first began, we did some men's retreats and we did some women's retreats.
They were great.
Really well received.
I have been to both of them, actually.
That's right. One time you did worship. concert for the women's retreat.
And I hid behind a a thing because I didn't want to be seen.
Yeah, that's very funny. And so, did you sing in a falsetto voice?
Yeah, I sung.
And so those were really well received. But we know that our folks here at Summit have X amount of time that they can take off of work or be away from their families. And they have X amount of dollars to spend on extracurricular things like retreats. And so the thought process was, instead of doing a men's retreat and a women's retreat, we can do a life group leader retreat, because our life group leaders are the folks that are spending the bulk of the time with the men and the women of Summit, especially as Summit continued to grow. And so different congregations, different campuses are doing some of their own things for men and own things for
ladies.
There's
nothing wrong with weekend intensives.
It's been really, really great.
Intensives.
But this life group retreat, man, it has been a win. And this year we went to the Cove, Billy Graham's place up in Asheville. Yep. It's the first time we'd gone there as a church family. And we loved it. We took over 100 leaders. So that's life group leaders, deacons, elders, staff team, all going up there. The facilities were wonderful. The food was wonderful. The view, the mountain range of the Blue Ridge Mountains, absolutely wonderful.
A little bit of snow in certain places.
That's exactly right. There were. There were also deer and wild turkey.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful time. All of that to say, we had an opportunity to spend 36 hours with our leaders, and just, you know, our heartbeat in it is really to, one, let them know how much we value them and love them. So, you know, even when our leaders come walking in, one of the things that they get handed as soon as they check in at registration there at the hotel is like a gift bag with some of their favorite goodies. And here's our life group leader, deacon, staff elder t-shirt of the year that's been designed, and with their favorite other things that they like.
Mm-hmm.
And the accommodations are really nice, and the food is really wonderful, and all that kind of stuff. And so we just want to kind of pamper people a little bit, because our life group leaders do a great job. They're on the front lines of walking with people, encouraging people, scheduling things, and we're incredibly thankful for them. All of our worship pastors are there, and they're leading our worship times, which is really sweet, because all of you guys are crazy talented. And so to get all of our leaders in the room and be able to sing together is wonderful. And then we'll teach, and sometimes we do the teaching, sometimes we bring in somebody. This year we brought in Dwight Smith, who's a friend of Summit, has been from the very beginning, and he spent a little time talking to our leaders about being trustable. Like this whole idea of, if you're going to invest in other people, like, what does that mean for you from an integrity standpoint? Are you modeling the things that we're inviting the other people of Summit into in regards to passionate pursuit of God and living in biblical community and stewardship of life and engaging your spiritual gifts and sharing your grace story?
Yeah.
All the values, marks of a disciple of Summit. And so we were just talking a little bit about that. We're talking about what it means to lead in the church, especially in the U.S. of A. during this cultural moment.
Yeah.
And so I think there was a lot of encouraging stuff.
And you know, my favorite part of the Life Group Leader Retreat year after year is these breakout sessions that we do. I believe it's on Friday morning,
yeah.
And we're doing this is super practical. So what does it look like to lead conversations well?
Yeah.
What does it look like to help people mend broken relationships? Like, very practical things that we're walking through with leaders that I think is really helpful.
Yeah, how to do some intentional gospel-centered counseling, mm-hmm. How to lead conversations like you were talking about, especially around our values as a church family. And then Cam and I did a session just on logistics,
mm-hmm.
like the nuts and bolts of community life. And so, yeah, we do those breakout sessions, and everybody kind of rotates around to them. And yeah, that's a lot of fun as well. And then the other thing that I love about the retreat, and I think the feedback that we get that people love, is that it's not just session after session after session. There's a lot of free time built in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of time for just community building amongst our leaders, which we're incredibly thankful for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We go from January, we go to February.
Yeah.
What happened in February?
Well, a lot of things happened in February. First of all, I don't remember.
Valentine's Day.
Well, yeah, it was Valentine's Day, obviously. I think February, for most people, even listening, is all about survival, and I'll tell you why. The sicknesses are out there, right? It's flu.
Yeah.
You got the A strain, you got the B strain, then you're going to get the strep throats, and then after that, you're going to get the stomach virus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have small children in your home, they just pass that back and forth to one another for close to 12 weeks, and you wait for spring to get here. Now, I will say this, very encouraging to me, January, February, and March, that people that people were still, they weren't bringing their sick children to church.
No.
But I was encouraged that we just continued to grow. More and more new people coming
yes.
and joining across all the Summit congregations. I think in the new year, that's a time for a lot of people who may not have a church family to kind of want to plug into a church family. So that's exciting for us. And we saw that as the new year kicked off. And then just a few weeks ago, actually, and I'm jumping ahead, but we'll come back. We did a membership connect just this past Sunday yeah. night, talking about new people that are coming and being a part. We had 95 adults.
95.
We had 40 kids.
40 kids.
So that was a whole, that's not counting our staff team that was
and,
there.
And let us point out that this is a 3-hour night. So there are volunteers that are hanging out with crying kids for 3 hours.
Well, not all the kids were crying, but maybe,
I know,
yeah.
but some kids, that's what I'm saying.
That's exactly
not
right.
Not all the kids.
Maybe it's even more of a miracle, though, that adults would come and sit
and
somewhere for
cry.
3 hours
yeah.
and not cry. That's yeah. exactly right. Especially because they had to listen to us.
They did cry of
laughter. You and I kind of hosted the night, and I don't want to be overly braggadocious, but let's be a little braggadocious. We did a fantastic job.
I think next year, if the, what was it, the Oscars didn't have a host?
That's right.
I think if the Oscars, again, don't have a host.
You think we could put our name in there?
We're available, yes.
I think we could, if it means we get to make fun of people. I'm in.
And put the gospel on display.
Do those two things? Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, we can do that. So we had a membership connect, which was really exciting for us, and it's kind of the first step in those who may be interested in becoming team members here at Summit, or just finding out more about the mission, vision, and values of Summit. All the congregations and invite people, and we host it here in one location, so that's the reason there were 135 folks. But it was a wonderful night.
And maybe you're listening, and you're like, man, I really wanted to go to that, but the day didn't work out. We do it twice a year, correct? So
yeah.
we'll do it again in the fall, most likely.
Yeah, that'll be the plan.
And so you can look forward to that. I do remember something that happened in February, or kind of began to take shape in February.
Talk to me about it.
Is kind of the wrap and the bow on Summit Spartanburg and Bethany kind of coming together. So those conversations have been happening for a year, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And we're finally kind of coming together for the first time next Sunday, the 31st. But talk a little bit about that, Jay, and that journey that is.
Yeah, this was a unique one for us. So Summit has merged with a couple of churches through the years. Back several years ago, Summit Simpsonville was a result of merging with a church called The Well, and then Summit Easley merging with a church called Awakening. And it was a little different in that both of those churches that we merged with were newer. When I say newer, just they were several years old. As opposed to what's been taking place in Spartanburg over the last year, Bethany Baptist Church is a church that's 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they approached us last spring about the possibility of merging together with them. They have a small congregation of about 40 people, and it's a little older in age. And so most of the folks there are in their 60s and 70s and into their 80s. And, man, I've come to really love them as I've been able to journey with them over the last, man, almost year now, which is hard to believe. Invited into some conversations early on with some of our other leadership team, talking with them about the DNA of Summit. They were a church that I think could see that if they didn't make some changes, if they didn't possibly merge with a church, whether that be Summit Spartanburg or somebody else, that just because of age, I don't think they really knew how much longer their doors yeah. would be open. And so as we began to talk about who we were as a church, man, we were able to hear from them who they were, who they had been, who they still wanted to be as a gospel-centered church there in Spartanburg. You know, Bethany's only located about a mile and a half from where we meet, Chapman Cultural Center, where we've been meeting for the last several years in downtown Spartanburg. So it's in a very similar area where we already have a lot of relational capital with colleges and with ministries mm-hmm. and with other churches and just the city. And so after this past fall, several of us taking several weeks and teaching there on Sunday mornings and sharing our DNA, they decided they really wanted to move forward with this idea of coming together. And so then we went to our folks, went into all of our life groups, did a joint service together one Sunday morning in December, which was kind of encouraging for mm-hmm. everybody. And then because of their structure, because of their church structure, they had to, Bethany had to officially vote to dissolve as a church and become a part of Summit Spartanburg. And so the 1st of March, just a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
They voted 39-2 to dissolve. And, man, that was just a really, I don't know, super humbling, to be honest with you, as I've thought a lot about it, that this church is like, we're thankful for the legacy we've had. We think God's not done with us yet as a church family. And at the same time, we're super excited to join up with another church family. And so that has led to, you know, we got to do all the official paperwork and stuff. That's all currently taking place. But as you were just mentioning, a week from this Sunday, March 31st, we'll have our very first service there in the new Summit Spartanburg. We're rejoicing. A lot of you have been praying. We're incredibly thankful. Spartanburg was the only location that didn't have a permanent home. We've been setting up and tearing down. And when I say we, other people have been setting up and tearing down for 7 years.
Wow.
And we're thankful for that. And at the same time, we've been looking for a place that we could call our own. It's not just the setting up and the tearing down, Brand. It's the, during the week, having a place for student ministry to meet.
Yep.
It's doing DNA classes. It's hosting dinners like Membership Connect. All those kinds of things that we would like to be able to do if we had access to a space 24/7. So here comes Bethany, merge with us, vote to officially dissolve, therefore, in doing so, handing Summit Spartanburg. How gracious and kind is this? They handed us all of their assets. Like, they handed us their facility.
It's crazy.
It's a facility that appraised for $700,000 when we did the appraisal on it. They gave us the keys to their church van. They weren't a church that was going to be shutting.
You got a church van?
Yeah, we got a church van, man.
That's awesome.
You didn't know that? You just
no,
found that out? Yeah, we got
very,
a church
as
van.
A student ministry guy, that's very exciting.
That's right. Because we have to rent those sometimes.
Yes.
Now we have one. And so, no, it was just, and they're not a church that were, they weren't closing their doors next week. Like, they still had money to continue on as a church and money in the bank. And so, man, they just said, here's all of that. And so, incredibly encouraged and humbled. And again, just thinking about legacy and what that means.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Summit Spartanburg is a pretty young, I think I can say it that way, it's a pretty young congregation. You know, being located so close to USC Upstate and Spartanburg Methodist and Converse College and Walford, we've been really blessed out at Spartanburg to have a ton of college-age students in our midst, and then obviously also a lot of young families in our midst. And so one of the things we've specifically been praying about is that the Lord would bring those into our midst there at Spartanburg with a little age.
Mm-hmm.
Not just numeric age, but like spiritual wisdom and a desire to invest in those that are a little younger. And so that's also been a part of it as well that we look at and go, hey, this is an answer to prayer for us, for Summit and for Summit Spartanburg in particular in an array of ways. And we've been really humbled by it. Keep praying for us. We start there next week, like I said, a week from Sunday, March 31st. And then that gives us 2 or 3 weeks kind of in the new facility there before Easter and the official launch. And it's in a neighborhood right up against Little Mill Village. And so it's going to give us the opportunity to kind of adopt a neighborhood and love on that neighborhood well. There's some needy schools, elementary school right around the corner, one of the neediest elementary schools in all of Spartanburg County that Bethany was already doing some ministry in. We're going to be able to adopt that as well, Summit Spartanburg, and do some ministry there. And so we're excited about that as well. And then a lot of you that are listening today, like, you've been given to this facility expansion. So that's above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings here at Summit. We have raised some money and are continuing to raise some money for several different of our, for all of our congregations, just updates that are needed at our facilities. And now we're moving into this space. And while we're thankful for it, there are some things that need to be done to it. We're painting some walls, and we're going to be putting in some new flooring, and we need to put in some new lighting. And over time, there'll be some other things that we want to do. And so if you're listening today and you've been giving above and beyond to facility expansion, thank you. Please continue to do that. If you're listening today and you haven't given to facility expansion, we could use that money now. Like, we're currently in need of those funds continuing to come in, because they are being spent in an array of ways, one of those ways at Summit Spartanburg for this transition into this new facility.
Yes.
So we're celebrating it now, but it's been a journey that we've been on for 10 months, almost 11 months, and we're incredibly thankful for
it. Cool thing to celebrate. Last night, the people of Bethany and the people of Summit Spartanburg got together to pray And to just looking forward to what is about to happen. And if you are interested in getting involved in what it looks like to pray for that merger, we're going to be giving out a resource, I believe, on the 31st.
On the 31st through Easter. That's right.
Available to all of our campuses to help us kind of pray through, through that, which is a really cool thing.
Check out Summit on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Brandon knows the handles for all of those things.
At Summit Upstate.
And I think you just posted a picture of the prayer gathering last night, which was really sweet there in the auditorium to be able to see of our new location. So go and check that out at your convenience. I think a couple other things. You know, Brand, we did this, how many weeks? 9-week series to kick off the new year called In the Way of Grace. Mm-hmm. We talked specifically about people being in the Word. We talked specifically about prayer, and we talked specifically about belonging. We've mentioned a little bit on the belonging piece in regards to Life Group Leader Retreat as well as Membership Connect.
Yeah.
I do want to go back and touch on these other two areas. Prayer, man, there are a couple of our congregations that have been getting together specifically to pray. We just mentioned what was happening in Spartanburg last night. But at the end of February, I think close to 45 people gathered here at Summit Malden for a night of prayer. Which was incredibly encouraging to us. There is a racial reconciliation prayer gathering that's taking place every month out at Summit Cherrydale as well.
And to that point, there's also something that Cam and Kyle Eastup are working on each month. For those of you that went to the Gospel and Race Conference last year, there's a newsletter that's answering questions that were asked. If you're interested in getting signed up for that, maybe you couldn't go to the conference, but you want that, you can email Cam or Kyle.
Yeah, so all of that's incredibly encouraging to us from a prayer standpoint, man. We want to continue to be a church that prayer is foundational and key for us. I hope if you ever stuck your head in the door around Summit during the week, if you ever stepped into any of our staff team meetings, elder meetings, what you would observe and see is a team here that is quick to pray. To pray for one another on our team, to pray for the people of Summit that we're pastoring and leading, to pray for our city, to pray for our nation, and to pray for our world. You know, even this past Sunday, I think around at all of our congregations, we just took some time and we prayed for what tragically just happened last week in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
We took time and prayed for the floods that are just ravaging the Midwest here. Mm-hmm. You know, we have several families here. I'm just an example here at Summit Malden that are from Nebraska. And there's a lot of flooding and stuff taking place all across the Midwest. And so I can with integrity say that we're a ministry foundationally built on prayer, and I want us to continue to be there. I think we model that as a staff team. We want to continue to do so. And then within the context of our life groups and our Sunday morning gatherings and stuff as well. So the prayer piece has been huge. And then the Word piece, you know, us, we kicked off the series on talking about being in the Word. We know that everything else flows from that. And, you know, we've offered here to kick off the new year some gospel roundtables at different ones of our congregations. I think I heard, kind of added it all up, like over 100 people went through this first set of gospel roundtables that we had. I know we got some more coming in the spring.
Yeah.
Nathan, our family discipleship pastor, he taught a gospel DNA class as well, I think he did a couple of different ones of those. So all of that's incredibly, incredibly encouraging to us. So from the Word to prayer to belonging, I'm thankful that we were able to kick the year off that way and then practically lay some groundwork, lay some tracks for people to be able to run on in regards to those three areas that we think are so critical. And now obviously jumping in and studying through the book of Philippians. So that's exciting to us as well.
It's a great time. It's a great time to be alive.
How long have we gone today?
We're 23 minutes, so what? Really quick.
Oh man.
Let me give one more
update if I could, because some of you have been asking about Summit Simpsonville, Summit Malden, moving to downtown Simpsonville. Kip Kelly, our executive pastor, and myself, just meeting with the bank again last week. So what happened was we kind of did the end of the year push there for facility expansion. Part of that was because we needed to raise a little bit more money, have cash on hand for the bank. And so that was super encouraging for the bank when they saw the amount of money that came in, as well as the money that's been pledged. So again, thank you for those that are continuing to give.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to do everything you have to do at the end of your fiscal year, close out the books, and then get that stuff over to the bank, which I know you're very familiar with.
Yeah.
And so we were able to do that, get all that information over, and so we're still in that process of them going through everything. And I don't want to put a time frame on it yet in case it doesn't work out like we think, but currently we're super encouraged at what information we may be receiving within the next several weeks.
Yes.
And putting a time frame together. Here is the exciting thing. We did know that we were already going to be needing to extend our lease here. Like, we're not going to be out of, like, the space isn't going to be ready before the lease runs out here where we currently meet at Summit Malden. So, on the other hand, we've also been in negotiations with the people who own this facility to be able to extend our lease, and they've have allowed us to be able to do that, which is great. So, we signed a 1-year extension here, and so, Lord willing, even before that is up, we'll be out. That's what I'm praying and thinking. We'll give you more details in the weeks to come.
I know it maybe sounds like we've been saying we're in the process for a long time.
We've been saying we're in the process for about 8 to 9 months now.
So as somebody who is not in all the meetings, I know that they're happening, and I know that things are moving. It is a legitimate process.
You know that
process.
Jason and Kip are always running to meetings.
It is a legitimate process. Trust the process.
Trust,
right?
the process. For the Philadelphia 76ers and Summit Church.
Exactly right. Really quick, before we leave, for those of you that are getting in those last second brackets in the next 40
minutes. You've only got a few minutes. That's exactly right.
So who's your final four?
I went pretty much straight up. I went Duke.
Yes.
Gonzaga. North Carolina. Tennessee. Yeah. Duke, North Carolina in the championship. Uh-huh. The boy from my hometown of Spartanburg, South Carolina,
right.
Zion Williamson, making all the difference. Duke wins the national championship.
I like it. I got the same thing, except I got Duke, Texas Tech in the Final Four.
You got Duke and Texas Tech in the Final Four?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. In the championship?
Nope.
No. Who's in the championship? Duke, North Carolina?
Duke, North Carolina, Duke. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before you go, I just need to say this. This is a pet peeve of mine. I need everyone to listen to me very closely. If you love college basketball. I'm a diehard South Carolina Gamecocks fan. We went to the Final Four a couple of years ago, and I flew to the Final Four because I thought that's never going to happen again. And true to form, they haven't even made the tournament in the last 2 years. But if your team is in the tournament, if your team, the team you pull for, the team you're a fan of, fan, short for fanatical, if you are a fan and your team is in the tournament and you do not pick them to win the whole thing, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you when they win anything.
And I think we can all
This is my thing. Yeah. If your team's in, you pick them all the way through. If you don't believe in them, who's going to believe in them? They believe in themselves, I'm sure. But outside of that, that's the reason you're a fan. So listen, if you're going to sell out and pick another team for a chance to win $1 million, shame on you.
Shame on you
for that. You pick your team and you ride that team all the way through to the till they lose.
And I think we can all say this as Greenvillians, upstaters.
Because when South Carolina got in there and I picked them all the way
yes,
through.
You did. Yeah.
And who won that year?
You did.
I got a free hat out of that.
We are all Wofford Bulldogs.
Terriers.
But
it's a dog.
We are
yes.
all Wofford Terriers
today.
I'm
so pulling for Wofford. Go get it, Wofford.
See you next time we see you.
Next time we see you, 10-2.